Wait, who's that? Who's that good-looking guy in the pastel shirt hopping on board the boats? That's not Crockett or Tubbs. It's John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal. Hello, John.
Hey, that's me. You know, it's funny. When I was in high school, I did have that outfit. I had Crockett's outfit for sure.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a minute. You're a stylish guy.
Yeah, yeah. See, it doesn't quite fit the same way.
Well, no, no. You're much more toned now from the working out.
Yes. We'll go with that.
Celtics taking on the Heat tonight. Back-to-backs last night. Well, let's see. To continue your Princess Bride reference, it was not at all inconceivable what would happen last night.
It was not. They struggle, first of all, with the Magic, because the Magic are a big, long team. The Celtics, if they have an Achilles heel, it's playing against length, size. Orlando has that, and athletic size as well. So that's always going to be a tough matchup. Then shorthanded, no Brogdon, no Smart. They were really limited. No Robert Williams in that game. Tough to play a team that you have a tough matchup against and still have a chance to win in the fourth quarter, but not have those other guys that you would normally rely on in that situation that you can go to. So tough loss, but not the worst loss in the world.
No, and you could see it coming. The turnovers were adding up and coming at bad times, and then they just went ice cold down the stretch.
Yeah, they had about four minutes and 5 second stretch after Tatum cut the lead to two, where they just didn't score. And when Orlando gets the opportunity to run off of misses, to run off of turnovers, that's when they can put up the points. The Celtics did a great job when they were forcing Orlando to play a half-court style of basketball. They're still young. They're still not good at that. Still make poor decisions. They're a little bit off when they play half-court, we can say. But in transition, they love to run. They love to run off of those misses, and the Celtics really piled up a lot of those misses and turnovers in that four-minute stretch, and that was their undoing.
Celtics with the loss fall to 35-13 on the season. There were some bright spots last night. I thought Peyton Pritchard played pretty well for him when he was in.
Yeah, Pritchard did a good job of determining the pace of the game, really forcing the rest of the team to play faster. And that's what you kind of need in those situations where maybe the starters come out a little slow. You get a guy like Pritchard to come in there and really dictate the pace of play. Even though he wasn't scoring a ton, he was really getting the team to play a little bit more up-tempo, because that's where the Celtics are better as well, especially when they were settling for too many jumpers, too many threes. Getting that team to play a little bit more up-tempo basketball was really necessary. I thought Peyton Pritchard did a really good job. And defensively, he's a pest.
In some weird way, you have the 9-game winning streak. Does it take a little pressure off? Sometimes those things take on a life of their own.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that this team was a little, focused on that. This is their second 9-game winning streak. They couldn't get either of them to 10. I don't think there was a ton of discussion about the streak from what I've seen. But yeah, I get what you're saying, because that can lead to the, hey, you found all these different ways to win. Why aren't you winning this one? Why couldn't you find a way to win this one? I think some people might have like a little bit of an unrealistic expectation where just because you've won 9, you expect to win that 10th and you expect to win that 11th. And especially against a team like Orlando that has had your number, you think they'd want to come out and play fast and play strong and get their revenge. But that's just not how it works.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Will they be shopping around at the deadline? And what's out there for them? What would benefit this team the most?
Well, I will say that I've been saying go for a wing, because that's kind of where they have a real need. But there was a report from Chris Haynes on Bleacher Report that said that they might be looking at a big, at least another big, to kind of give them a little bit more insurance. I've been a proponent of Luke Kornet being that guy. But I will say that last night provided a lot of evidence for the it's not Luke Kornet side of the argument. So they might feel like one extra body is enough or will help them kind of shore that up. I don't think that they're dying to go make a move and do anything to bring that in. The report said that they would be willing to scour the buyout market to do so, and I think that's probably more likely. I still feel like if they make a trade, it's for a wing, and then they'll add somebody on the buyout market to shore up the front court.
All right, what do they need to do tonight against the Heat?
Well, this is going to be an all-hands-on-deck situation because no Jalen, no Marcus, no Malcolm. They're really shorthanded in this one. So it's going to be Jason Tatum and his band of merry men, and we're going to need a lot of production. Like last night, one of the reasons why they lost, Grant Williams didn't really give them anything, at least scoring-wise. They needed some scoring off the bench. Their top scorer off the bench last night was Sam Hauser. So nice for him to get back on track. That was good to see. But they're going to need more because Tatum and Brown combined for 52. The rest of the guys had less than 50. So they're going to need more, and they're going to need that again tonight. So Grant Williams, those guys who can put the ball in the hole are going to need to really step up and make some shots because aside from Tatum, the scoring is going to be a little bit on the thinner side. They're going to have to play fast. They're going to have to move the ball, and they're going to have to defend really, really well to see if they can force the Miami turnovers and get to run off of those mistakes.
John, speaking of the bench, who's the sixth man right now that's been the most valuable guy off the bench for the Celtics?
Well, I mean, obviously Malcolm Brogdon is the number one guy in terms of that. And especially, I think, since the OKC game that we missed last night, he's going to miss tonight. But since the OKC game, I think he took it upon himself to say, when the first unit is struggling, coming out flat, that the rest of the bench has to pick those guys up. I think Brogdon has taken that kind of personally, and he's played extraordinarily well since then. He had a pretty deep slump in December. January, he's been great. So hopefully he's back soon from whatever the personal reasons are, but he's the guy for the Celtics. Takes so much pressure off of Tatum and Brown, ball handling. We see him start to close games now. If they need him to do that, he's there for them. He's just all around and a complete asset off the bench.
So, John, have you had a chance to see anything of Miami, or has it been all work so far?
Look, if you get to Miami in January, you go see Miami. And I got to admit, I did the pro move of skipping Orlando and coming to Miami and watching the Orlando game from my hotel, working remotely on that one so I can get a little extra time over here and at least walk along South Beach. I don't think anybody wanted to see me swimming on South Beach. They might have thought I was one of the protected species out there. But regardless, it was nice to get out there and get some sun because apparently not much sun back home right now.
No, not at all. But that is a veteran move right there. Well played, sir. We would expect nothing less. So I hope you enjoy the game tonight. Travel safely, and we'll check in with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
It's John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast, live in Miami, where the Celtics take on the Heat tonight.